Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Amen, amen. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Amen. God is so good, isn't He? Amen. Aren't you glad He is your champion? Amen. I just want to take a moment and just remind you of a couple announcements just so that you can definitely be a part of them with us. First of all, please remember next week we are dedicating both services, 8:30 and 10:30 service, for the purposes of healing. So I will be ministering in the Word, but it will be a little bit different. We will be having a little bit more worship, but we're going to contend for healing, amen. And you say, well, why now? Well, I really feel like the Lord's leading us to do this. I believe this is the timing of God. But more importantly, one of the things that I've noticed is that, and once again, I am very thankful for those that are involved in the medical field. I'm very thankful for people that have paid the price to be educated, to make that a career, to care for our lives. But you know what? One of the things that I'm finding, and I'm certain that you probably see this as well, is that the medical complex doesn't have all the answers. Amen. Amen. Nor do they have the time or the resources. And so what I see happening in many ways is I see that there is a lack. There is something missing. And there are people that are going through their lives that are struggling. And they are wondering, you know, when is this going to come for me? Well, let me tell you something. God has promised us in His Word. He's promised. He's our healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord God that heals you. Amen. And over again throughout His Word, He has assured us that He is there for us to help us, to encourage us, but to heal us. He'll heal us physically. He'll heal us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Can you say amen to that? And so I really believe that it is up to us to contend for that and to believe God for His goodness in our lives. Amen. So invite somebody out. Tell somebody about it. Tell a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, whomever. Make sure you're here for that service, 8:30, 10:30. And then also that night, that evening, we are having our first annual cook-off, our chili cook-off, and so we want you to be a part of that. There is still the sign-up list in the foyer. You can sign up if you'd like to enter your chili in for competition. Amen. And there is no fee for that. You don't have to. It's not like we're collecting a fee. We just want you to do this. Part of the reason that I keep going on and on is because technology seems to be failing me right at the moment. And I am trying to find my sermon. Oh, Lord, isn't He good? God is so good to us. I think that what may end up happening with me, oh, there, and just it reset. Oh, thank God. Yeah, well, what resetting means that it just went right back to the beginning. And now I have to go through all these files. I think I may go back to paper. I'm just about. So talk amongst yourselves while I get this done here. Why in the world? Why in the world? Thank you, Lord Jesus. No. You got it? It's in your computer? Yeah. Just do it. It's going to be a lot different. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's funny is how, you know, in Jacob's Ladder, I used to do the messages and have no notes and it was good. But right now, I can't even think of the title right at the moment. There it is, A Journey. See, it's, you know, when you're up in front of people, a lot of people, there. Thank you, Rosemary. It's not colored. How come you didn't color it? You should have had your... Come on, Rhodes, if you're going to do it. No, I'm just teasing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, if you have your Bibles and you're ready to do this, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be looking at just a couple verses of Scripture. But before we get to that text this morning, I want you to think about a verse of Scripture. This has been a verse of Scripture. I've mentioned it several times in sermons before, but I want to go a little bit deeper with this, and I want you to consider this thought with me just for a moment. It's found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and the Bible says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Now, the reason that that has stood out to me is because for a lot of years in my Christian walk, I was taught to use that scripture in terms of evangelism, talking to people that didn't know the Lord and saying to them, look, Jesus is standing at the door. And I believe there's truth to that. But that is not what this is talking about. Okay? The reality is this verse is being written to a church. It's the church of Laodicea. And God has talked to them. He's come to them and he says, hey, guys, there's a problem in the church. And the problem in the church is you've become lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're just kind of there. You know, you're not bad people, but you're not really good people either. You're kind of just cruising along. You're kind of just phoning it in, as it were. And you're just, you know, you're there. It's kind of there. Take it or leave it. And at the end of his comments to them, he makes this statement. He says, look, I'm standing at the door of your heart. Somehow, in the beginning, I was on the inside, but today I find myself on the outside. And I'm knocking on the door. And I'm knocking on the door, and he says, if you hear me and you will open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you and you with me. And at face value, this verse is telling us that God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to communicate with us and spend time with us. But I submit to you this morning that our Father in heaven wants much more than a dinner date. Can you say amen? I submit to you that God wants us to go on a spiritual journey, or a journey of spiritual intimacy. Can you say amen? This call to enter into spiritual intimacy with God is echoed throughout the Bible. And if I could dare say this morning, this is probably the focus of God's heart. Now, there's a lot of things that we could talk about that God holds as important, and there's a lot of things that we know, but we know from the book of Genesis that God created Adam and Eve, and every evening, in the cool of the evening, God would walk with his children. In other words, these were intimate moments that God shared with his children. Amen. This is what God wanted. God wanted a family. That's why he calls himself Father. Amen? He wanted a family, and he wanted to walk with them, talk with them. He wanted to share life with them. Can you say amen? But a decision was made. We know it. They rebelled against God. They kind of went the way of the devil. And somehow in the midst of that, that connection with God was broken. Sin broke that connection. And when Jesus comes on the scene and dies on the cross, raises again, and he brings us back into newness of life, there is a new connection. And old things, all the things that were originally intended for Adam and Eve are given back to us. Primarily, our relationship with God. That we could know him. Not just be a religious group of people, not just know about him, but know him. To walk with him, to fellowship with him. And I submit to you today that this is the heart of God. And this is what we are about. We're not just about living righteous. We're not just about doing things in the kingdom of God. We're not about just going out and shaking the world up for Jesus. All of those things are right and real, and we should. But what we really are here for, what God really wants, is relationship. Amen. What he wants is to walk in intimacy with Him. Can you say amen? Amen. Now this spiritual intimacy that God is proposing, it's really an invitation to experience a deeper and more vital relationship with the Heavenly Father. It's at the core of every human heart that exists today. I don't care who you are, saint or sinner, this idea or this dynamic is in your heart. We are hardwired to walk in intimacy with God, all of humanity. Psalm 42:1 says, it's, look at that, look at the programming. I am on my paper notes trying to move my notes up. Can you believe that? I am so programmed by the iPad right there. Who is programming who? That would be a great sermon. Thank you, Jesus, for next week's. No, I'm just teasing. This verse paints a vivid picture of you and I thirsting. He's going to fix it. Isn't this fun? This is painting a vivid picture of you and I thirsting for the refreshing presence of God. Have you ever been in the presence of God? If you've ever been in the presence of God, you'll know there's nothing like it. You'll know that's where you want to be. You know that's how you want to live your life. Because it satisfies the deepest parts of our lives. Can you say amen? God, in His infinite love and mercy, extends an invitation to you and I to draw near to Him. That's what He's doing today. He's extending an invitation that says, I want you as close as you can get to me. Amen. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and through 22. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That is such a powerful portion of Scripture. And listen to that verse. He says, and let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. What this is doing is God is saying, I'm calling you to come closer. In James 4:8, the Bible says this, come near to God and He will come near to you. Amen. Amen. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to come closer to God, helping us to step into the joy of His presence. To draw near is not merely a physical act, but it's a condition of a heart that is surrendered to the will of God in divine encounter. Amen. Are you hearing me? We're to draw near to Him in intimacy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 7:25 says, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Amen. So the one command, the one exhortation that we are given throughout the book of Hebrews is to draw near to God, to be close to Him, to be intimate with Him. The goal is that we get near and that have fellowship with Him, that we not settle for a Christian life that is distant from God or where God is on the outside. Right. Think about that for a moment. How sad is it that God would be on the outside? That he would be on the outside. Is that it? Wow. Amen. Thank you, Andy. Oh, now this is much different. That God would be a distant. There it is. Oh, praise God. Experiencing God like this is called communion with God. That's important. Do you know why? Because we take communion. Jesus, on the eve of his crucifixion, sat down with his disciples and he broke bread with them. They shared a meal together. And as he broke bread, he said, "This is my body given to you." He said, and as he poured the wine, he says, "This is my blood." And so much that he even taught, he said, "If you really want to walk with me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." And what he wasn't talking about cannibalism, we know that. But what he's actually talking about is he's talking about intimate fellowship. That I become a part of you and you become a part of me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the center of the gospel. Are you hearing me? This is the very heart of the New Testament. Jesus came into the world to make a way for us to come to God without being consumed by our sins. Are you hearing me? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Listen, why did Jesus suffer? Why was the just given for the unjust? That he might bring us to God. Amen. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16 in the Amplified Version says, "Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." Amen. Church, I don't know if I can describe to you in word a more succinct and accurate promise of what God wants to do in our lives. Can you say amen? We're not accomplishing, we don't do this through some physical act. We don't accomplish this through our achievements. It's not necessarily going to a church building or walking to an altar up front. It is an invisible act of the heart. It is a directing of our hearts into the presence of God. Listen to what I'm saying, church. What I'm saying to you is this must be a priority, not on Sunday, but every day. We must have a value for the presence of God, a value for being close to him, a value. We need to actually miss him. Have you ever had anybody go away? Maybe they were gone for a week or two, or a friend or a neighbor or a loved one that went away, and you say, "Man, I just miss them." I wonder, do we miss God? Do we miss him? Do we long for him? Do we want him? Do we look? When we're walking through Safeway, or we're at Walmart, or we're driving in our car, or we're at work, or we're out in our garage doing our thing, or whatever it is we're doing, are we thinking about him? There's not a day that goes by that there are people in my life that I think about every day. I can tell you I think about my wife 24/7. When she's at school, when she's working, she's teaching, I'm calling. Ask her. I send texts. If she won't, and if she don't respond, I start sending them one word at a time. Until she I send emojis. I'll go through every emoji in the thing until she responds. Why? Because and she'll call, what do you want? Just hear that voice. Just to hear you. Amen. I miss her. I think about my mom and my dad every day. My mom and dad, they're in heaven, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. But every day, I think about them. There are people in my life that I think about every day, and I miss them. And God is someone that I think about every day. There is not a moment when I'm not somewhere where I'm not thinking about Him. Amen. Sometimes in conviction, I find myself in a situation where I feel the presence of God and I cringe and think, dear God, what have I brought you into? So it's an act of the heart. But let me say this to you. There is a foundation this morning that must be laid in order to come into this. It's not going to be just a decision. You're not going to be able to just go. You're not going to hear this sermon today and go, okay, I'm good. I'm going to start. I'm going to really contend for this. No, you're going to have to lay a foundation. And that foundation begins, number one, with the fear of the Lord. One of the most important things, or in one of the most important foundational stones in this thing called intimacy with God, is having a right understanding of God as a holy and righteous God. I mean deeply and utterly holy. Holy beyond words and beyond comprehension. He is the one, listen to this, that dwells in unapproachable light. He is the one that has angels that worship Him 24/7, if there is such a thing in heaven, the 24/7. The reality is, it is constant. And every time the angels come to a new place, they see a new facet of God. And it's been going on since the very beginning. Wherever that may be, at least their beginning. And it will continue into eternity. And the more we grasp God's holiness, the more we desire to be holy. I didn't forget. This isn't technology right now. This is a real pause. The more we understand and grasp His holiness, the more we desire to be holy. And the closer and closer we will come to Him. We all know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But what a lot of us don't realize is that it is through this reverent fear, this awe of the Lord, that we ultimately come into a deep, loving relationship with Him. Too many of us today are too casual with God. Amen. Now look at, please, do not misunderstand endearment and intimacy with casual. The Bible says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Understanding Abba is the transliteration for the word daddy, papa. I guarantee you that when my little grandson Owen or Wyatt or Oliver or Titus or whomever, one of those grandsons, when they come to me and they go, papa, I'm not looking at them going, how dare you disrespect me? I guarantee you my heart is filled with love. Because it's a moment when this little child is looking up at me, this one who is innocent, who is pure, looks up at me and says, Daddy, Papa. And it moves my heart. But see, there's a casuality or a flippantness is what I should say. When it comes to God, it's like He could take it or leave it. It's good enough for Him. No, our very best is not good enough for Him. And what we need is a fear of the Lord, and we need to approach Him as a holy, righteous God. See, when we understand this, our whole approach to Him changes. We start to see Him as He really is. See, what the problem with treating God flippantly is you create God in your own image. But when you fear God as He really is, then you start to see elements of His glory. And we start to love Him more and more until we have an intimate, holy relationship that is beyond words. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 says, "The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure." The fear of the Lord is His treasure. See, the thing is religion will tell you to be afraid of Him. Relationship says stand in awe of Him. In religion, it says you're going to be punished because He's holy and righteous and He cannot tolerate sin. In relationship, you will see that He is a holy, just God, and out of His justice, He forgives you. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that becomes His treasure for us. He told, I forget who it was in the Old Testament, I forget who it was now, but He told them, "I am your great reward." Amen. God is our reward. He is our treasure. Psalm 34, 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear Him." Come on. When you understand who He is, God fills you up to fullness. He fills you to overflowing. Number two, hungry heart. The next stone in our foundation is a hungry heart. At the core of our spiritual journey lies a hunger heart. It's a heart that is eager to be filled with divine presence. This longing is the whisper of the soul, calling us to seek more than the material world can offer. It's a call to discover a love that surpasses all understanding and a wisdom that transcends earthly knowledge. Psalm 63, 1 through 8, listen to this. Just listen to the words. "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely." Oh, church, it's those kind of passages that we need to think about. We need to discipline ourselves that in the moments of our struggle to speak those out loud. It's in those moments that In when things aren't working the way we want, when we're wondering where is life really going, that we begin to truly desire Him, to long for Him, that we would have a hungry heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me give you a secret. What you pay attention to, you will create a passion for. One of the reasons that I believe the Laodicean church became lukewarm is because they lost their passion. They started paying attention to other things. See, listen, church, God does not want to be a piece of the pie. He wants to be the whole pie. He doesn't want a piece of your heart. He wants the whole heart. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul wrote, he says, the life that I live now is Christ in me. It is his life that's at work. Church, what Christianity has done, particularly Western Christianity, because we are so very busy and given to so many things, we have no problem making him a part. We have no problem saying, hey, you get your spot. And if I got time, I'll get to you. But God says, I don't want that. I want you to pay attention to me. One of the things that I have felt coming into this new year is God says, I want you to kind of push off some of the things. They're not sin. They're just robbing you of your time and attention. I want your time and attention. Are you hearing me? Number three, the third stone is the path or the principle of meditation. To embark on a journey of spiritual intimacy, we must learn the art of meditation. And through meditation and prayer, what we do is we create space for God to speak to us. David says, I lie awake. In that last verse, he says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've told you, I've shared with this congregation that I sometimes have a hard time sleeping through the night. I could get to sleep, but sometimes I wake up and then I can't go back to sleep. And one of the things that I noticed the other night, just this is fresh off the press, I noticed this the other night. Usually when that happens, I get really frustrated. I get bouncing around and want to go to sleep and complaining and griping. And I'm pushing on Kat. Hey, you awake over there? Misery likes company, you know, and so she might as well be awake. I'm awake. And so I'm back and forth, all this. And so it hit me the other night. I was awake. It was probably about 1:30. I was awake, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to calm myself. I'm going to calm down. I'm not going to be upset if I stay up all night. And the thought was, here was the thought, that Jesus would often go into the wilderness and pray all night. Amen. And I thought, well, okay. Maybe this is my opportunity to pray all night. And so I just calmed myself. I laid back down. I closed my eyes. I still was wide awake. But then I just started to talk to God. The next thing I knew, it was 4 in the morning when I was waking up again. And I thought, you dirty, rotten demon. Because what he does keeps you awake. He wants you frustrated. He wants you wearing it out. But the moment you begin to spend time with God, I choose to believe that God came on the scene and says, it's time for you to rest. There's something about meditation, church. There's something about it. See, biblical meditation is not just emptying our mind. It's filling our mind with him. It's thinking about him. It's meditating on him, his word. And the more you meditate on his word, the more you pay attention to it, the more a passion you have for it, the hungrier you get for more of it. You want more. You want to go deeper. You want to know more. And God says, that's great, because I want to show you more. Number four, the fourth stone is surrender to divine will. In 1 Peter 5:6, the Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He tells us to humble ourselves and surrender. Submit yourself to God, James says. We submit ourselves to the will of God. We say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. God, I want what you want. I don't want you to want what I want. I want to want what you want. I want what you want, God, in my life. I'm submitted to your will. I don't care where it takes me. I don't care where I have to do. I don't care what the feeling is. God, I want to be submitted to your will. When you submit yourself to his will, there is something that transpires that is supernatural. A lot of people think that submission is a sign of weakness, but I declare to you that it's a sign of strength. In fact, it's when we are at our strongest. Because now the strength that is in us is not our own, but it's his. Can you say amen? Number five, the practice of gratitude. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a prescription for peace. This is a prescription for the Spirit of God to reside in your mind and your heart in peace. Amen. He says with gratitude, be thankful. Be thankful. Thank God for everything. Thank God for getting a favorable parking spot at Walmart. Be thankful when you discover a deal at Walmart. Be thankful when the kids call. Be thankful when there's more than enough. Be thankful when you find an extra piece of candy when you thought it was all gone. Be thankful. Be thankful. Amen. Say, God, I thank you. You are a good God, and I thank you. Because the art of thanksgiving is at the act of faith. By cultivating a grateful heart, we become aware of God's fingerprints on our life. When you become thankful, you will see that God's far more active than you ever believed. Number six, nurture spiritual discipline. Our spiritual intimacy requires disciplined spiritual practices to flourish. Reading the Bible, participating in worship, contending in prayer, serving, all create fertile ground for spiritual intimacy to take place. All of that. I know reading the Bible is tough. For some of you, maybe you need to listen to the Bible. But put the Bible in, can you say amen? Amen. On a regular basis. Participate in worship. Oh, church, I cannot tell you. I know we are by activity relatively conservative. We don't have a very demonstrative worship service. But I could tell you that you need to participate in worship. Whether that's closing your eyes and lifting your hands, tapping your foot, opening your mouth, you've got to participate in worship. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. Worship is attractive to God. If we can put it on human terms, I don't think for a moment it functions this way because God's not human. But if we can put it in terms that we understand, when we begin to worship, it gets His attention. And He goes, I got to go down there and see what's going on. And when He comes on the scene, things change. God can walk through a desert and turn it into a garden. You didn't catch that. As God walks through a desert, behind Him, a garden is forming. And when God comes into your life through worship, intimacy will begin to grow. And finally, embracing God's presence in everyday life. Spiritual intimacy this morning is not confined to sacred spaces or special moments. It's not about coming to church. It's not about being in the prayer room. All those places are great, and we love them, and we go there. But everyday life, the presence of God should permeate every aspect of our lives. And as we go deeper into this intimacy, we'll discover that God, in fact, is not distant, but He is He has committed to the details of your life. Amen. By embracing God's presence in our daily lives, we transform ordinary moments into supernatural encounters with Him. I have to tell you, okay, as I'm closing this message, Jason could come. I have to tell you before we go, this one's hard for me. I'm a fairly logical thinker. I think linear. I think action, reaction, 1 + 1 = 2, and that kind of thing. And what happens to me is when things happen, I always try to explain them away. And God says, how about instead of you trying to explain it away, just say I was there. But then my logical mind kicks in and goes, but what if it wasn't you? He goes, how about this, John? You can't do nothing without me. How about nothing can happen to your life unless I'm involved in it? How about the fact that you're breathing right now requires my assistance? Amen. He said, just give me glory. Practice my presence. Pay attention to me. Yes. Embrace his presence every day. When Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He didn't want to know him in an informational way. He wanted to know him in an experiential way. He wanted to know him, sense him, hear him, smell him, feel him, taste him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The truth is the journey of spiritual intimacy literally leads us into the depths of the heart of God. And no one, listen, no one that travels that road is left disappointed. There will be challenges. There will be good days and there will be difficult days. But you will discover a reality of God. You will discover a reality of our Father, of our Savior, of our Lord that you've never known. And you will never be the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? For one reason, God is good. God is good. He is unfailingly good. It's time that we discover it. Can you say amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you this morning that you have invited us in this spiritual journey. This spiritual journey of intimacy. And we pray, Lord, this morning that these words would echo in our heart, in our spirit, throughout this day, this next week, through the months to come. And that, Father, we would embrace this dynamic, that we would take and receive this invitation. And I pray for everyone in this room today that you would give them an encounter with you, a moment of time where they sense you and sense your presence. Father, that would awaken their spiritual senses to know you, to experience you. Father, we love you so much. We praise you today. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here today and you say, I don't know Jesus as my Savior, I'm not right with God today, but I would love to give my life to him. I would love to surrender to him today. If you've never done that, if that's you, would you lift your hand up all across this place? Amen. Maybe you're here today and you feel disjointed. Maybe you feel like the Laodicean church. Maybe you've got distracted and you just kind of phoning it in right now, and you're like, I feel distant from God. If that's you, would you lift your hand up? Amen, I see that hand. I see that hand. Others today, amen. I want to encourage you. Whether you lifted your hand or you didn't lift your hand, that you would embrace this intimacy, that you would embrace this journey. I want to pray right now over those that lifted their hand. Father, I pray for those that raised their hand. I pray, God, that you would come right now. Lord, that you would embrace them. Father, that you would put your grace upon them. Father, that you would minister deeply into their spirit right now. God, encouraging them and strengthening them. God, as they right now rededicate their life, as they look back to you and say, God, I'm coming home. I'm opening the door. I have heard the knock, and I'm opening the door for you to come in. Help them, encourage them, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. I'm going to ask my ministry team if they would come forward. If you have a need of any kind, let them come up and pray for you. The rest of us, let's stand. We're going to release you today. God bless you. You have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Remember, next week, our healing service and chili cook-off. If you got a chili recipe you'd like to enter, sign up in the foyer.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.